Welcome to the IT Experience Podcast. This is a podcast for those who are interested in IT experience management in large enterprises. If you use ServiceNow or other enterprise service management system to provide services to employees, then this is for you. Brought to you by Happy Signals. More smiles, less time wasted. Welcome to this episode. Today, Sakari is interviewing Antonina Klentsova. And when we went to SITS event in London in May, I met with Mark Smalley, and he recommended that we should speak to Antonina. And Sakari, I gave the ball on this to you, and you met with her. So what are you going to talk about with Antonina today?
Well, when I heard about Antonina Klentsova, I started looking a little bit online on what she has been writing and talking about. And she's an expert in sustainability and digital transformation in organizations. And then she has been contributing to the ITIL4 framework as well. And what we did was we talked about how human sciences, sustainability, have influenced the ITIL4 framework development.
Okay, so what kind of findings did you get, and what is the listener gonna hear in this interview?
Well, I have to say that this episode is good to listen to with a certain space for reflecting on the content, because it takes a little bit of time to listen to. And what we did find is that diplomacy and sustainability are actually two things that are very present in IT, even in an IT service management context. And the second thing is that sustainability is about achieving objectives now without jeopardizing the future. So closely linked to the resilience piece that has been much talked about in the last few years. And there are other aspects as well, but listen through the episode in a calm space where you have time to reflect and you will find out more.
Cool. So let's get straight to the interview then.
But before diving into the topic, a little bit about you. Something that many people may not know, and that I found out as well, is that you have been interested in diplomacy from a very young age. And then that has brought you to this now a sustainability expert position through an interesting career path. So do you want to speak a little bit about how you ended up in your current position?
Thank you. Indeed, I've been interested to diplomacy and I'm still interested in that. When I was a teenager, I was a part of UNESCO, international UNESCO clubs. We had quite a few international gatherings talking about, you know, diversity and leadership for young people. And I dreamt to be a diplomat, but then I was so scared of going through linguistic exams to the university. So I decided it will be easier for me to study math and physics. So I went to their radio, Belarusian State University of Radio Electronics, and became telecommunication engineer instead. But thanks God, my life was wise enough to shift that career, and I ended up still building a relationship between IT departments and business. So that's how I, when I just joined Service Desk and we created the first ITIL version 2 at the moment, aligned Service Desk in Belarus at the moment. And that's how I was dealing with ITSM. And then 3 years ago, sustainability started becoming a part of my life as well. And then I've been honored to be invited by Axels to join this project about sustainability in digital and IT, where experts on both sides, ITSM and sustainability, we created the module that helps digital organizations to become more sustainable. And that's where I decided to focus for now, so to bring the skill of diplomacy between the teams who want to become more sustainable and still don't know how to do that.
I've seen that from my short experience in IT is that some of the most successful IT organizations, they do practice diplomacy, but they might not call it diplomacy. It's often about like the communication, finding a shared ground. And from what I understand is those are very much values that make sustainability sustainable. So just a couple of words, I listened to in a podcast with Jeffrey Teferkiller and Roman Zhurovlov, we talked about sustainability and how it's something that lasts long. Do you want to just, in a couple of words, explain how you see the sustainability piece and how maybe diplomacy plays a role in actually enabling that long-lasting action?
It's all about achieving our targets and objectives now and still not jeopardizing the future resources, communication, relationship. You know, sometimes you can say, well, it doesn't matter what will be in future, we need to do it now. But, well, sorry to say, it does matter what will be in future, because in a week, in a month, in a year, we might not have something that we need to be happy and successful. So to stay sustainable means to evaluate every action and decision that we do now, making sure that, yes, we do get what we want now, but we still don't jeopardize our future. And diplomacy here, in my understanding, plays a huge role. Diplomacy, it's a lot about respect. It's a lot about diversity and inclusiveness. And not just to be diverse, but to know how to communicate in diverse teams.
When it comes to the current situation, we see a lot of conversation around cost cutting and around doing more with less. So do you have any tips on how maybe diplomacy could help organizations be sustainable, even if they have less resources?
Well, it's much easier to be sustainable as we think, and it's much more things to be done as we think. Now, to be sustainable is even to play according to rules on the market. So not go to shadows with your cash flows. That's to be sustainable. To be respectful towards nature, the simplest what many people do now, you know, the plastics, we reduce plastics in office and so. But then thinking about that we switch off electricity when it's not needed. There's a little, it's not enough for sustainable development. It's much more than that. We need to come up with the innovations, but even those actions already help. Or to stay respectful towards other representatives of other cultures, not similar to you. It's all hard work, and it's all hard personal work usually, but that's where it starts.
So it's very much about humans as well. In ITIL4, you have influences of human sciences to make it more sustainable for IT teams in their collaboration and in their cooperation and co-creation of value between the service providers and the users or consumers of it. So do you want a little bit talk about the ITIL4 and human sciences connection?
Human science was fully considered while developing ITIL4. Models, all models, all practices. And coming back to sustainability, the key skills and capabilities that we people should have in order to be more sustainable are system thinking, emotional intelligence, social intelligence, so not only understanding ourselves, understanding others, system intelligence, so knowing what does it mean to be a part of the system and sometimes sacrifice our own needs for the sake of others and vice versa. So there are quite a few skills that not related to technical aspects of digital services. It's also not only about building communication and relationship between service provider and consumers. It's also about building a relationship inside of our digital and IT teams. And it's also building relationship, transparent, respectful, you know, understandable with those who outside of the organization, so so-called stakeholders from outside the service relationship.
How often are sort of the stakeholders outside of the service relationships considered, and who are those stakeholders and why do they matter?
They are auditors who come to visit our company and their SaaS. They are our competitors. They are our partners and suppliers, families of employees in the company, the professional communities. Well, you know, the audience who listens to us now, and not taking those into consideration can jeopardize our success as well, because it's a huge source of influence.
From what I'm hearing now is that maybe the traditional view of IT's role is actually quite narrow, and it doesn't consider all the other aspects that influence beyond technology. And one thing that I've been quite curious about is how, for example, Paul Wilkinson was giving out prizes for the latest shiny thing. And we see this fascination with technology and with metrics and numbers. Often in IT, there is this tendency to trust the machine data more than you would trust people. But from what I understand, it's actually ITIL4 has already even developed quite a lot of content that is considering the human far beyond just the technological aspect. Are there any modules or any content that would be very useful for our listeners to get more familiar with?
Oh, yes, indeed. We can take pretty much any module and we'll find some modules or concepts related to human behavior. For example, High Velocity IT talks a lot about ethics and experience management, how we deal with that. And Drive Stakeholders Value, you can find not only points of interconnection with your customers, but also the modes of listening. I mean, that's as simple as that. What are the three types of listening skills we have? And according to which one you choose, the process changes, the interaction changes. Then there are also a lot of information about emotional and social intelligence, relationship management practice, on business relationship as a concept. And then digital strategy model talks a lot about values, which we have to understand and consider before even going and designing our strategies. And saying values, I mean our human values, what is important for us as individuals and as organization. So it's as not technical as you only can imagine, but that what has a huge impact on what's going on in digital organizations.
Sounds like something that might be quite difficult to control. And I mean, one of the aspects of IT is that you don't want surprises. And maybe if you have an IT team of several hundred people that are providing services to thousands of users or hundreds of thousands of users, it might be difficult to make every single person be considerate of these different aspects. Is that something that then ITIL can help with that? Do these modules give best practices that don't require every single IT employee or leader to fully understand them, but they would still be able to get benefit out of them? Or how does this work? How do you put this into practice?
Well, again, we are all human after all. And, you know, the more we know, the more we understand we know nothing. So the more you read the best practice, the less realistic it feels. And there is a model that also framework, which is mentioned in pretty much all ITIL4 modules at Kenefin system, the system thinking. The framework that teaches us to understand what type of situation we face now. Is it simple? Is it chaotic? Is it complex or complicated? And then to act accordingly. And the same, according to which values your organization has at the moment, which situations you face, according to that, you choose the practices that you need at the moment, the models that you need. And the most important skill that I personally believe we all have to practice every day is to know how to process information, how to get rid of not relevant information from our head, how to learn new, and how to find the hidden gems in all amount of data that we're facing today. That's really important.
So it sounds like it's about questioning, and it brings back to memory one thing that you mentioned in an Axelos podcast or end of 2020, where you spoke about that adults learn more by questions rather than learning by heart. Is the ITIL framework something that encourages asking the right questions used in ITIL4 and in IT organizations?
Well, first of all, ITIL4 is not the ready-made recipe for all organizations, and that's what is highlighted in the beginning of each and every model. It's the set of best practices that organization has to adopt.
Yeah.
But tune it according to the current situation. And especially in the practices, which I have to admit, not many people read nowadays, unfortunately, because they are sometimes out of scope of current certification. But then practices, they bring the list of those questions according to the situation that you face. Which questions do you ask when you choose your strategy? What are the questions you ask when you set your incident management processes? So there are quite a few questions and not answers in the books.
Yeah. Interesting. So is the best way to get the most value out of the work that the whole community has done for ITIL4, is the best way then to not take it as a magic wand that will solve all problems, but actually take it as something that you know will evoke more questions and will help you find what's right for your organization and your context, your cultural situation?
Yeah, it's hard to say better. Yes, absolutely. And what ITIL4 authors do a lot, authors, editors, assessing, evaluating what's available now on the market, what is the experience other companies have, what are the best practices where they're. So let's say anyone can do that. I mean, any organization, but then you have to have a special department to do that, right? So ITIL brings this really amazing summary of what worked well, what can help you, what are the models there, but then it's up to you to choose how you use that and what works for you or not. So no, it's not the magic wand, but that's certainly a really good map that can navigate.
So it's about learning, studying about what has worked before, learning from others, and then enabling them to look at your own situation in a new light, maybe connecting the dots. Oh, that I saw that thing, and creating like the best what works for your own organization.
And also looking at the what is new, you know, what are the new way of thinking? Because there are quite a few new approaches as well presented. Those are not adopted yet, but already showing good examples. So yeah.
And you work as an independent consultant now with these IT strategies. I think many of our listeners are probably thinking about this must be a really, really long project. But if you think about looking at your clients, how long is sort of what kind of time span would you say that working with maybe an external ITIL consultant or IT strategy consultant, what kind of time frames do these your clients, for example, usually go through to set in place new strategies and start trying out this more human-centric and sustainable actions and practices?
As always, it depends, really, it depends. What COVID taught us, sometimes business strategy can be shifted within 1 week while you're forced to do so. And then the mindset shifts because we don't have any other choices, right? So if we're still living in less uncertain environment and we make conscious decision on changing the mindset and culture inside the company to change our future strategy, I would say, and that's really high estimate, of course, around half a year that would take to change, to shift the mind. Of course, the first results you see even faster than that, well, the processes, the principle. So it's all designed, it's all presented. But, and now I'm also talking as the executive team coach from that experience, even after the program is over, the 3 months program or half a year program, it takes a team at least from 3 to 6 months to adopt it, to feel it, to make it not noticeable. And when they stop thinking about that, but they do it, that's when you can say, okay, now we're done.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, thank you very much, Antonina, for having joined me. It's very fascinating to hear about how deeply human, even ITIL4, and how it has been impacted by these human sciences. These are, I mean, the great assets that you mentioned, we will put them in the show notes. We will put links to the other interviews that you've done. And once again, thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, thank you very much for inviting. The pleasure is all mine. And yeah, thank you.
And as at the end of every single podcast, we say, stay safe and stay happy.
Stay safe and stay happy indeed.
Thank you.
If you like this episode, giving the podcast a review helps others find this content as well. You can also visit our YouTube channel or our learning center at happysignals.com for some more video content. Join hundreds of like-minded IT professionals who have passed the free IT XM certification course on itxm.academy.